The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Monday, March 16th. Free agency is almost underway. The tampering period is kicked off. By the time you're listening to this, franchise tag window has closed, and we got a little breaking news here. This is not going to be a daily podcast. It's going to be like an 8 times a day podcast. In all seriousness, we have a bunch of micro pods for you as news breaks. And big news broke on Monday with Dak Prescott being franchise tagged by the Dallas Cowboys. Joining me to talk about it, Patrick Walker and Jared Dubin. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, how's it going, Brinson?
I'm just awaiting the Cowboys losing their top receiver and top corner on the open market after franchise tagging their corner, their quarterback, a year after giving monstrous deals to a running back and inside linebacker and their fourth best offensive lineman.
I figured that this was going to be a very upbeat Dubin that we got that we had on the pod here today. I know that Dubin is upset at how things have transpired, and I can't entirely be disagreeable in that aspect. I mean, the Cowboys had several months to lock up a deal with Dak Prescott, and to their credit, they did make several attempts. They make several offers, I'm told, over the past summer in 2019, going into September, and the last offer was upwards of $33 million, I believe, in September before Dak Prescott basically walked away and said, hey, I'm going to bet big on myself. I got a new offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore who wants to pass the ball more. And although it didn't end well for the team at 8-8, it did end well for Dak Prescott, who had a career-best season across the board. Now he's entering a market that is basically set to pay quarterbacks huge money, even over what we've become accustomed to at the position. So he played his hand well. He has all of the leverage, and the Cowboys, all they had to do was throw a few more piles on the table. They could have gotten this done and secured Amari Cooper on a franchise tag to buy themselves more time, and they didn't. And I'm with Dubin as far as completely railing against the team for allowing and undervaluing, I should say, for undervaluing Byron Jones and allowing him to hit the open market. I think he's the best cornerback this team has seen since Terrence Newman. I think they're still kicking themselves about letting Newman walk a few years ago. So,
yeah, I mean, Dubs, I would say this, like, and I don't disagree with anything you said. I think it's like very classic Jerry Jones, though, to spend an entire offseason making a huge deal. I mean, like, all we talked about last offseason was Zeke Elliott's deal. And, like, you know, they had to get it done, and he was going to hold out. And it felt like, you know, in hindsight, I mean, I don't even know if you need hindsight to figure it out, but, like, had they just signed Dak Prescott to some sort of reasonable contract last year, and they probably could have had him, like, if you're buying out a year and then two tags, the final year of his rookie deal and two tags. And because, look, it's not like this is breaking news that they would probably only have one tag or that he wasn't going to have a fifth year option. You could have got him for a substantially cheaper cost. And now that he can smell blood in the water and see the open market, there's no way this dude is going to take less than $35 million a year. I wouldn't, even if he wants to, his agents, like, they're like, listen, man, I'm sorry, we can't. Like, we can't. We'll never get another client again if we don't get max dollars for you on the open market. So was this, how much, like, what percentage do you put on Jerry Jones for this?
Well, 100. Like, okay, yeah. This is exactly what I was saying last offseason. And when people were like, oh my God, you know, how is Dak not going to take $30 million a year? He doesn't deserve more than that. Like, I don't know how many more times people can say, It does not matter what quarterbacks deserve. The only thing that matters is what the most recent quarterback contracts look like. There was no chance ever that Dak was going to take less than $35 million a year in the first 3 years, because that's what he would get if he was franchised twice, and then they all of a sudden had to pay him the franchise tag again. And now if you think about it, if they would have signed him $35 million a year, let's say they gave him $1 more than Russell Wilson got last offseason, that would look like a bargain right now. Ryan Tannehill just got $29.5 million a year. Kirk Cousins got $33 million a year. If they made him the highest paid player in the history of the league this time last year, it would look like a bargain by now. Instead, they splashed the pot for, you know, a running back who's going to make more than the seventh and eighth highest paid running backs in the league combined. They made an inside linebacker one of the seven or eight highest paid linebackers in the league. They made their fourth best offensive lineman a $10 million a year player. And, you know, they might lose players at, you know, two positions that are significantly more important than any of those three positions. Like, it was just very obvious that Dak's contract was going to be for more than they were willing to offer last offseason. And if they had just met his price, it would look like a bargain by now.
And I think, to your point, when it comes to the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, I don't think that they had enough foresight in this situation. They were distanced enough from the collective bargaining agreement at that point in, you know, what are we talking, June, July, August, September, wherein that was not in the forefront of Dak Prescott or Todd France, his representation's mind, as it is now. I mean, aside from the coronavirus, what are we talking about? We're talking about the CBA landing. And when talking about the CBA landing, you're talking about the injection of new TV revenue. You're talking about salary caps that are going to explode as you know, soon as 2021 going forward. And now that, like Dubin said, Dak smells blood in the water. Had the Cowboys went ahead and got him secured on a 4 or 5 year deal, averaging $35 million a year, maybe through, $105 at him in September, as opposed to what I've been told, which was about $100-$101 in guaranteed money, then this deal would have been long gone, and they could have focused on Amari Cooper, could have focused on Byron Jones, and might have been in the situation to use the tag on Cooper and just pay Jones, or use the tag on Jones and just pay Cooper. But the bottom line is they would have had more flexibility than they have right now, which is little to none, despite the fact that they have, I think, the salary cap, what is it, at 198.2, it's been set. So they have a projected $72 million. So take 33 out of that right now for the franchise tag for Dak. Still have a good chunk to get a lot of things done in free agency. But the question is, why are you allowing Byron Jones to walk? Your plan is still to sign Dak Prescott to a long-term deal before July 15th. You know that. That's where you are now. Now you have to sit back and look at what's available out there in free agency. And don't tell me they're looking at someone like Chris Harris, right? When you have Byron Jones in the building, don't tell me that they should potentially strike a deal for Darius Slay, which that completely boggles my mind that that's even a take. You got a premier cornerback in the building. And if you need convincing of that, look at how the Philadelphia Eagles are about to swing big for him, and the New York Giants. And now today we're seeing reports that the Redskins are going to be in on it. You mean to tell me you're the only team in your division that doesn't understand how valuable Byron Jones is? That should cause you to look in the mirror and say, hey, we're doing something wrong here. But they won't. And so they're in a tight spot now.
All right.
It's also just the priorities that they showed last offseason. You know, they were engaged in this, you know, weeks-long Zeke holdout, and they decided, you know what, we're going to splash the pot for other guys to try to motivate him to sign a deal. And then they went and met his price anyway. You know, it just, what they prioritized throughout this whole last year or so, it shows a team with not just a lack of foresight in terms of what Dak was going to be worth, but with priorities that are out of place in the modern NFL.
Yeah, I'm with you. And look, I would say this too, like, the other part is, and I realize that, you know, economic-wise, like, you can't, you know, you can say it's a sunk cost, et cetera, and you can't throw, but it's not, this isn't even like a good bad money after good or good money after bad or whatever it is. Like, they give him a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. And you basically rented Amari Cooper for a year and a half for a first-round pick? How aggressive, Patrick, do you think they'll be? I know there are reports out there that they want to try and, you know, sign him, and I know, you know, as you reported, they like Amari Cooper. They want him. They give a first round pick for him. Do you think they have a chance of bringing him back? Do you think he wants to come back? Will they be aggressive in signing him? And I mean, do you think that, you know, giving up a first round pick for him and then letting him walk is a major problem?
No, they are very, very aggressive in keeping him or trying to keep Amari Cooper. I got a text from a source not 5 minutes before we fired up the podcast that basically said they're going hard to get this done. And the talks, as we have this conversation, they remain aggressive. Both sides are open. There is no holding pattern. They're having back and forth right now about a little bit of everything. As I saw a colleague, you know, Jane Slater of NFL Network just tweeted a moment ago, they're working towards it. So I wouldn't be surprised if the deal lands today, tomorrow or Wednesday. But I also wouldn't be surprised if Amari Cooper kind of, you know, gives way to a little bit of curiosity to see what he would actually receive as far as offers on the open market are concerned. Now, that obviously is what the Cowboys are trying to prevent, because it's going to inevitably push his price tag higher. But I have been told that the Cowboys are willing to go upwards of $20 million a year to keep Amari Cooper. They don't want him to be a 1.5-year rental for a first-round pick. They don't want to start over with a premium pick in the 2020 NFL draft. They have more dire needs. You're going to let Byron Jones walk. You're going to have to get a premium cornerback. You're looking at needing to bolster that defensive interior line. You need to upgrade the safety position. You can't afford to create a huge void on offense by allowing Cooper to walk. So they're really, really aggressive about it. Amari Cooper has doubled and tripled down on wanting to remain in Dallas. He said, quote, he wants to be a Cowboy forever, end quote. And that's true. And the Cowboys want him to be with them for the foreseeable future. Now it's just a matter of, can they get the, you know, the length of contract down? Because again, what's in the forefront of players' minds right now? The CBA. How soon can they renegotiate these deals after they signed them in 2019 or 2020? What's going to be the final dollar amount per year? What's the guaranteed money? So good news for Cowboys fans is there is an excellent chance that even if Amari Cooper does test the water, that he does end up back in Dallas. But of course, that's not guaranteed.
Yeah, Brinson, I think you, I can't remember who you talked about it with on the podcast last week, where
me either.
I think even these deals, you know, $20 million a year for Amari Cooper sounds like a lot. It's going to be, it's more than, you know, I believe than what Michael Thomas signed for, but the new TV deals are going to be negotiated pretty soon. And I think that no matter what guys sign for this offseason, it's going to look like a bargain within a year or two, because the cap is going to go up even more than it did this year. I think this year's cap jump, while it was $10 million, it was the lowest percentage cap jump since, I believe, 2013. Yep. And that, I think it's going to jump percentage-wise more than that over the next couple of years as they sign their new TV deals, assuming that, you know, the league ever gets started again, you know, based on what we're going through with coronavirus right now. I would imagine at some point in the future there will be football again. We don't know when it is, like, based on news out there now, wouldn't be surprised if the next NFL season didn't start on time.
All right, but, so let's not get ahead of ourselves on the Dak emergency podcast.
I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
they're going to sign new TV deals at some point. Whenever football does come back, I think these deals that get signed this offseason could be looking like bargains in a year or two.
I'll say this too. Like, you read the new CBA, and there is literally, as there was in the last CBA, a clause in there, and I talked about this a bunch, that excludes the Dallas Cowboys marketing arm from all revenue. Like, Jerry Jones has his own clause in the CBA that carves out a big chunk of cash that goes into his pocket and his family's pocket. So it's like, why are you crying poor on Dak Prescott? You discovered him in the draft after you screwed up the Paxton Lynch situation, like an accidental genius situation. You screwed up the Connor Cook situation, accidental genius part two, and then you grabbed Dak because you were desperate, and it turns out he's an incredible quarterback. Just pay this guy. What are you waiting for? It drives me nuts. It's so dumb to pay a running back instead of Dak. And look, Zeke's great, but come on, man. It's insane to do this. The Cowboys mishandled it, and you know, I think they're going to pay the price now because they're about to potentially lose two free agents. Let me ask you this, Patrick. Because the Cowboys have signed, they've tagged Dak, which means they have until July 15th to work out a deal. We'll see if they hammer something out. If they wait too long, Patrick Mahomes is going to sign something, and they're really going to pay a price because he's going to go off the top of Mahomes because they just played out the two tags. If they come away paying Amari Cooper a $20 million a year contract in free agency and tagging Dak and losing Byron Jones, what letter grade would you give him in that scenario?
So to make sure that I'm clear here, you're saying that there is not a deal struck after the tag has been applied.
Well, don't worry about the Dak deal for now. They get him for next year. They get Amari Cooper locked down in free agency.
Okay,
they keep two or three guys, but they did it in a terrible process like what would your grade be? And you could be, I mean, yeah.
Well, I'm going to just grade the final result versus the actual process, because yes, it's sometimes it's ugly how the sausage is made, but if the sausage is at least remotely delicious, then we can work some things out here. So if the Cowboys can get the sausage that they're trying to make to a point where it's palatable for NFL fans, for Cowboys fans in particular, then I'd give them a C+. And the reason I give them a C+ is because I really believe that losing Byron Jones is going to come back to bite them in the rear end in a big way. So let's say hypothetically they go into the draft and you get someone like a CJ Henderson at the 17th overall pick. Guess what? There's a learning curve at the NFL. You're not just going, I mean, the likelihood of a cornerback jumping in and becoming Jalen Ramsey is slim to none. That's just the reality of the situation. So it may take 2 to 3 years for someone like Henderson or any other premium cornerback in this prospect pool to come in and start being an impact guy and playing at the level that Byron Jones is currently in coverage. And you could say, well, you know, he lacks the interceptions. For me, that also goes to scheme and the weakness thereof, and how him and others, you know, in the secondary in Dallas were taught and are taught to play the ball. Now, here comes Mike Nolan. Here comes Mike McCarthy. There are going to be changes there. I would have loved to see Byron Jones team with someone like Mike Nolan show me what this new secondary can do. But I promise you, Byron Jones is going to leave the Cowboys. He's going to end up with 4 interceptions in 2020 for the next team. And the Cowboys are going to have this premium pick at cornerback that they're going to have to figure out how to teach him to be the new Byron Jones. They didn't learn from, you know, walking away from Terrence Newman prematurely. They haven't had a premium cornerback since. And now that you have one, and you've kind of flexed him into oblivion over the first 3 years, had you committed to him to cornerback in the first place, he would have already been an all-pro, probably effective year 2, definitely year 3, not just year 4, and now you're exercising a fifth-year option because you want to see if he can do it again. Cowboys are in a bad spot in the secondary. You got to upgrade your safety position. You got to upgrade your defensive interior, and now you have a gaping hole at right cornerback. So C+, yes, you kept your offense together, which is fantastic, but we all looked at the Cowboys and we all saw the Cowboys defense last year, and they're about to take a step back. That's a scary, scary proposition.
Yeah, I would agree with everything Pat just said, especially moving Byron Jones around early in his career, bouncing him back and forth between safety and corner. There are some guys you could do that with. I mean, Byron Jones essentially was a picture perfect for the way they wanted to play their defense, to play corner. One of the reasons he doesn't have many picks, the dude never gets thrown at. He was thrown at like third least often of the corners that played 500 or more snaps last season. Nobody throws at him. It's hard to get picks if nobody throws at you. Second of all, I think they have massively undervalued the safety position for the last, I don't know, 15 years. They haven't invested in it in free agency. They haven't invested in it in the draft essentially since Darren Woodson. Then when they came on the clock in the late second round last year, they decided they were going to take an interior defensive lineman rather than one of the 3 safeties that were on the board that everybody thought were going to be gone by then. You know, the interior defensive lineman, Tristan Hill, was so bad that they're looking at potentially taking another interior defensive lineman in the first round this year. You know, they've just massively mismanaged things in terms of the way they're building their defense. And now they're going to let one of the, I don't know, 2 or 3 best defensive players on the team walk because he doesn't get interceptions. Like, get a safety who gets interceptions. Value the safety position even a little bit over the past few years, and you may not be worried about the fact that Byron Jones doesn't get picks. And then
get a coordinator. Get a coordinator that teaches interceptions.
All right, so and give me a letter, Jay Dubin.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's where I was going next. I don't see how you can even go higher than like a C- if you don't sign the quarterback to a long-term deal. Like, no matter what else you do, if you don't get Dak signed long-term, that's like the only thing that matters. You have to have your quarterback locked in.
Let's be clear. Like, if the Cowboys, we're just grading it just based on going draft, like they've got Dak, they got Amari, they don't lose Byron Jones. Look, if Dak ends up playing out 2 tags and then leaves, that's an F-.
That's I'm saying. That's why you need to get him on the long term. If you don't get a long term deal, no matter what, even if you have him for next season, to me that drops you like a full letter grade. Like, look at the way that they have identified quarterback prospects since Jerry Jones bought the team. They had the number 1 pick and got Troy Aikman. Then there was like 12 years where they got literally
they also
nobody.
Took another quarterback too.
So Steve Beuerlein with a So like they found nobody in free agency during that time, nobody in the draft during that time. Then it took them like 6 or 7 years to find Romo, who was an undrafted free agent that they only got because their quarterbacks coach at the time went to the same college that Romo went to. Every backup they brought in was bad. Every other quarterback that they drafted, whether it was, you know, Quincy Carter in the second round or like Isaiah Stanback, who they decided they were going to convert to wide receiver, all of those other quarterbacks were bad. Then every quarterback that they brought in to either back up Romo or to be a prospect behind Romo, none of those guys worked out. Like, it's ridiculous the way that they've been so bad. There is absolutely no reason to think that the Cowboys can identify a good quarterback, whether in free agency or in the draft, and people actually want them to let Dak Prescott leave. It makes no sense.
And you're absolutely correct. And Dubin couldn't have phrased it any better when it comes to those that are kind of shrugging off the value and the importance of Dak Prescott. And I get it. You know, it's recency bias to a great degree. A lot of people either don't recall the quarterback void post Troy Aikman, pre Tony Romo, or they simply weren't alive to recall it. But for those of us that know better, as Dubin so eloquently laid out, I mean, unless you want another Quincy Carter situation, unless you want those types of years, year after year after year of trying to figure out who your franchise quarterback is, you pay Dak Prescott. He has proven himself. And, you know, those are saying, oh, well, use the non-exclusive tag and let him walk so you can get 2 first-round picks. I think at a certain point we need to stop overvaluing draft picks that haven't taken a snap at the NFL level. If it was that easy to find a top-tier quarterback at the NFL level, then you wouldn't have 25 to 30 teams constantly trying to figure it out. Yes. Dak Prescott has shown he can get to the playoffs, and I believe he's shown he had the ability to make a deep playoff run. I don't think that he was tethered to the coach that could teach him how to turn the corner. I think Mike McCarthy is that coach. So,
All right. We got to go. We got emergency siren sounding for future podcast. See, you guys are proving once again that Cowboys, like if you're like the cathartic release as a Cowboys fan for life since Jerry took over is probably one of the most important things in your life. Because, like, you can't, like, it's like you got, like, Jimmy Johnson won 2 titles and then Barry Switzer won 1 with Jimmy Johnson's guys. And really, since then, they haven't been very good. And you're going to let the quarterback walk out of the building? Are you nuts? Sign him to a long-term deal. It's obvious. You got the info from me. You got the info from Patrick Walker, Jared Dubin. We'll be back with a Franchise Tag Recap pod. You can check that out in the feed. Make sure to watch us on CBS Sports HQ. You'll see a Pick 6 show from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Monday, then 8 p.m. the rest of the week. And tons of podcasts coming to feed. Thanks, fellas. Talk to you soon.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.